Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
Yes. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I am Pete.
And that's our Bat of the Booth, Booth Bat Prime.
Booth Bat Prime.
Thank you guys so much for coming out tonight. Guys, who is excited for Avengers Infinity War?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. There's some excitement. That's good. It's coming up in a couple of weeks. Now, I kind of had it like rolling around in the back of my mind, but today the directors, the Russo brothers, they put up a note specifically saying, listen, fans, we're doing something kind of unprecedented where even with the press tour, we're going to have our press days, we're not going to show the whole movie because we don't want it to be spoiled. Nobody knows the true plot of this movie. So you're going to have to find out opening day with everybody else. And I freaked out because I was like, oh, my God, I haven't gotten tickets yet. I immediately got on the computer, logged on, bought the last two tickets all the way in the back row for opening night because I was like, I got to get this. And immediately I was like, Pete, I'm going to tell Pete this on the show, and he's going to be so mad at me because you got tickets like weeks ago, right?
Did they push forward the show, like the opening weekend?
Are you kidding? Weeks ago.
Oh,
Pete!
No.
Pete,
we got to wrap up the show, man. I got shit to do now.
Are you going to ride home? You haven't bought tickets yet.
No, I have not. I can't believe it.
You can't go now. It's actually all sold out. I got
you
the last
too, you
two.
You got the last two?
I got the last two
You're
tickets.
Going
you know
your
what?
Wife?
You want to? Fuck my wife. You want to come?
Yeah.
All right. Guys, I'm very excited about the guest that we have on the show tonight. He's the acting director of the Jack Kirby Museum and Research Center. Ladies and gentlemen, Red Hoppy!
Yeah! Welcome to the show. Have a seat. Have
Hello.
A microphone.
Thank you. Thanks
Relax.
For coming, sir.
Great to have you on the show.
Oh, great to have you on the show. Thanks for coming
great
on.
Great to be here.
I'm very excited to talk about stuff because there's a lot of things happening in the world of Jack Kirby. But before we get to that, How did the museum start? How did you get involved? What's going on with it for those who don't know?
Well, just a big Jack Kirby fan ever since I was probably around 12 years old. Kind of got hit by that Kirby lightning bolt. Just realized, my gosh, who is this guy? He's amazing. Which led me to becoming a big comic book fan, a cartoonist, all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
But, it was John Morrow's Jack Kirby collector was a big deal. But before that, I actually did get to interview Kirby.
Oh, wow. Did you really?
I interviewed him in 92 with a friend, and it was really great. And audio is online. Text is online. It's really fun.
Well, wait, hold on. we'll come back to this in a second. Okay. I want to know first, what was the first Kirby book you picked up? What was the first Kirby story?
It was Commandy with the giant grasshopper. The thing about that comic was just... I was at summer camp, and I had a stack of comics.
Nice.
You know, sure, as you do, you go to a place to go outside, and instead you go inside.
That's what we did.
Books.
We listened to WABC radio. We listened. we read comic books, and there was a stack of comic books that always got handed around amongst the cabins and the tents. Mm-hmm. And this one year, I decided, you know what, I'm going to go, and I'm going to add comics to the pile.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to contribute.
Yeah.
So my parents gave me $1. That's how old I am, folks.
Yeah. So you bought a third of a comic.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Can I put this on layaway?
I bought a Flash 100-page Super Spectacular.
Uh-huh.
I bought a Superman that had Superman being killed and hung 8 times on the cover by Nick Carty.
Is that in continuity?
Really weird.
Okay.
And then I bought this kid with this giant grasshopper and read all the comics. And I
three comics for $1.
Three comics.
Ooh,
you know, 50
ooh,
cents. The Super Spectacular was 50 cents.
It's kind of amazing that you went to camp or like, did you randomly buy them? Did you kind of buy them by the covers or how
I
did you?
I shopped.
Yeah.
I definitely was. I went down the row and like opened them up. I knew Superman from the TV show mostly, some cartoons on TV.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I read the stack of comics that was there, but I turned to my friend and I said, "My gosh, this Commandy thing is amazing! It's a kid. He's shooting. He's shooting a pistol against animals. Right? He actually had to kill his grasshopper.
Oh,
and
man.
His girlfriend is topless.
Huh. Whoa. That was actually the original plot of Pinocchio as well. Same kind of thing. So
as
you read this.
12 years old, I was like, this is the best comic I've ever read.
Yeah.
You know,
so did you immediately seek out, like, did you, I feel like when I was a kid, I didn't know the authors as well. Like, I realized it later, but.
No, that's what happened when I turned to my pal in the tent and I said, this Commandy comic is the best thing out of this whole stack. And he said, oh, well, come on, man. That's by Jack Kirby.
Oh,
he
okay.
wrote and created He created all of those characters and all those other comics you read, except Superman and Batman, you know? And I was like, oh, really? Because it was like the Avengers Defenders War was going on at the time, so there was like all kinds of like heroes all over the place. And I just was like, realized that, like, I knew who Charles Schulz was, that he was drawing Peanuts. I was reading lots of Mad Magazine. But then just think that there was a guy sitting somewhere at a drawing table drawing these amazing science fiction, action adventure things just really just hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. So given that you became obsessed with Jack Kirby, what was it like leading up to interviewing him?
So it took place, it happened because of, I had seen him, I'd been around him a few times at comic book conventions. Mm-hmm. Got my New Gods 1 signed by him at a Miami convention. Went saw him at the Hotel Pennsylvania in 1974. So, you know, I was familiar with him as a guy, right. You know. And what happened was I was on the internet. This was actually before the web, but it wasn't a BBS, you remember, like, there were these things you would dial in with the modem, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
And there was just a group of people there. They were publishing a magazine called Mondo 2000, which was a kind of a techno-hippie, smart drug, cyberpunk precursor to Wired magazine.
Wow.
Okay? And we just...
Cool, not niche at all, so go on.
No, it was totally okay. Like, and it was based in San Francisco, and it was just this whole thing was going on, and... I was interested in reading about those things, and one of the guys on there and we started talking about Kirby and said, you know, there should be an article about Kirby in this Mondo 2000 magazine. So we pitched it to the editor. The editor was like, not really all that. I mean, we got the go okay, but it wasn't a big thrill.
Okay.
And then my pal Andy, he made the whole thing happen, and I flew out of New York area, met this guy who I'd never met in person before in San Diego. We went over to he set them up and sent the magazines, and we went over, introduced ourselves, and they took us up to their hotel room and we interviewed them. And it was just great.
Cool. Where can people check it out online?
It's on the Kirby Museum's website.
Oh, okay.
You know, you could. It's Mondo. Were you like Mondo Kirby?
Were you like nervous? Were you intimidated? Like, were you freaking out?
No. You know what the thing was is that my pal Andrew actually was really prepared.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he had questions in mind that he wanted to ask. I was just so thrilled about actually being to go and talk and talk with Jack Kirby about stuff that you listen to the audio because we have it on YouTube. And I'm just, like, laughing the whole time. Like, for a while, I actually was like, Jack Kirby interview by Andrew Meyer and Rand Hoppe. And I was like, no, I'm a whiff. Andrew did all the work. He was great. And
were you very Chris Farley about it? Were you like, do you remember the time?
No. Because we were asking him questions about technology, and he said some really interesting stuff. I mean,
Cool. I'm excited to check that out. So when did the museum start?
So that interview took place in 92. John Morrow created the Kirby Collector, I guess, the year after Kirby passed away in, like, 94 or 95. And that was something really special because going into the comic shops, John's a designer. So, like, it was a really nicely designed magazine, like a fanzine. You know, usually it was, like, fanzines were kind of, you know,
sure, yeah.
Ransom note kind of stuff as far as graphic design was concerned. But John actually had brought a sense of beauty to it and elegance. And I contacted him on CompuServe.
We're slowly moving forward.
Yes, we are.
Internet.
It's true. I contacted him on CompuServe and asked him, would the Kirby collector liked to have a website. And John, you know, as most people would have at the time, said, what the heck is a website?
Wow.
So I wanted to learn how to do HTML and put up a website. So I put up John's website for the Kirby collector. And I still help him out with that to this day. And just working with him, starting whenever that was, 97, I think, I just got the sense that Kirby was such a significant cultural and literary person, like, you know, figure in our world, that he needed to have something like a nonprofit that would mm-hmm. be out there. That so it wasn't just what Marvel wanted to do or what DC wanted to do or whatever wanted to do. That it was, you know, that there was something a little bit more fancy and high-minded mm-hmm. to take care of his legacy. So
you've had a couple of exhibits. You've had pop-ups yeah. around the way. We were lucky enough to come to one a couple of years ago now.
Yeah. Allen Street in...
I don't know.
It's like
probably 3 years like ago? After CompuServe times, but before peak Twitter.
Right.
I think that's fair to
right.
say. But you have a new one that's coming up.
We do. Yeah, the first weekend of May, we had actually plan for it to be the opening weekend of the Avengers movie.
Uh-huh.
But
you should talk to Pete about this.
I'm sorry, I know. But we're still going to have it. It's going to be the 3rd, 4th, and 5th at the least down in Tribeca on Warren Street.
Oh, cool.
And we're going to be featuring Kirby's work for 2001. So he did nice. An adaptation of mm-hmm. the movie that was printed in a large format, and he also did 10 issues of a regular old comic book. So
I could be wrong about this. It may have been yesterday, but I think today is the 50th anniversary of 2001.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's nice timing as
it
well.
It is nice timing. It was serendipitous. Actually, I didn't plan it that way.
Just pretend you did.
It's fine. Well, I'm genius.
Yeah, there we go. That's kind of amazing. I didn't actually know that he did an adaptation of 2001. It's such a weird thing to have somebody like Stanley Kubrick, who is such a iconic director, adapted by Jack Kirby, who's such an iconic creator.
Yeah.
Does any of him come through it, or is it all Kubrick, or is it a mix of the two?
The adaptation is pretty... It does a good job of adapting the movie as well as any movie adaptation can be, in my opinion. And it's got some great visuals at the end. The coloring work is actually pretty sweet. It's the comic books where Jack just kind of goes off and extrapolates on this on the idea of what the monolith can do, you know.
It has superpowers, right? And fights crime.
Yeah, there's he starts out with, like, you know, primitive people, and then they meet the monolith, and then they're in space, and then they become a space baby. That's like the first two or three issues. And it's great, and the art is beautiful, and the stories are actually kind of all right, but it's not very Kubrick-like,
mm-hmm,
you yeah. know. It's Kirby, it's Jack. We're actually gonna have a dramatic reading of two of his issues.
Oh, cool!
At the pop-up, there's a story that he did called Norton of New York, and it's Kirby's. He imagined cosplay. He imagined virtual reality. And he ties that in with the monolith and the future. So it's
wow.
it's kind of cool. The thing is that those comics have not been reprinted because nobody really wants to give the permission. I believe it's a little bit weird. I've had a number of people come up to me and ask me what can I do? Who can I talk to? And I said, try these people. These are accomplished people who have published works sure. and done things in business, and mm-hmm. they could not get the rights.
Hmm. Wow.
So.
Now, speaking of movies, though, this has been kind of an interesting time for Kirby fans at the movies. We had Thor Ragnarok, which had some of his designs in it.
Oh, yeah.
We had, for better or worse, Justice League. And then, looking forward, Ava DuVernay is going to be doing a new Gods movie. Do you feel like, based on this, have you seen a renewed interest in Kirby at all, or a change in interest at Kirby?
I'm appearing on two podcasts this week.
Oh, there
Yay.
You go.
Right.
Which ones? other than that, though, like, do you think, is it drawing in younger fans? Is it drawing in the same people who, like, you...
No. I feel like I've part of my mission as the, you know, having the Kirby Museum, I feel like we've been part of getting the word out about who he is and what he is and our appearances at conventions and the pop-ups. It just keeps growing. People are figuring it out. They're coming to us and asking, you know, really great questions and really want to learn more. It does seem to be developing. And now, of course, with Ava's Varney's movie, you know, that's going to be a big deal.
Well, what's your take on that? We were talking about it when the news came out here on the show. My feeling was that's almost unadaptable in terms of a movie. Granted, people would say the same thing about A Wrinkle in Time, which she directed. Granted, people might say the same thing about the movie adaptation.
Right.
But what do you think? Can you make a New Gods movie, and what are the essential parts of it? What do you need to actually bring to the screen?
You know, it's really hard to say. I mean, the Kirby was one of the things I think he was doing was there's kind of condensing a few quotes that I've picked up over time. Was he was telling the story of 30 years ago with the trappings of the 30 years in the future. So was he doing World War II? Was he talking about Vietnam? You know, Dark Side was Nixon and Hitler and Stalin. You know, it was all very personal for him, and he was, you know, when he was a kid on the Lower East Side, he knew who monsters were and gods were because of his mother and her friends would tell these stories. So, like, it wasn't just about books and movies for him. It was part of his family life. So, like, those were the stories of the old world, and then he was living in the new world, and then he got himself into a position after 30 years of drawing comic books where he could tell the stories about the new gods. Mm-hmm. And those were, it's pretty personal stuff. Now, granted, there are characters and trademarks and things we want to see. So, you know, hopefully, you know, I would expect that there will be, some, you know, the trappings of Darkseid and Mr. Miracle and Orion and Barda and all those wonderful things. But, If Ava DuVernay has her own story to tell, that go for it.
Yeah, cool. She has your permission then. That's good. Yeah. Okay, excellent.
Great.
Before we move on, where can people check out more information about the Kirby Museum?
We're on Twitter and Facebook and
CompuServe.
It's all just we got this bulletin board thing. Kirby Museum. It's. You put Jack Kirby in on the Google, we're at least number one or number two. So,
yeah. All right. Very cool. Everybody check that out. And we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
Woo! Love calling it that. Woo-hoo! And in the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of books that came out this week. Let's kick it off with one of Pete's picks, Hit Girl number 2 from Image Comics. Pete, this is a pretty violent book. Why do you like it?
Well, I feel like, violence in comics it's a nice safe place for violence. No one's really getting hurt. And, yeah, I like this. This is very, the art's amazing. It brings a really nice, kind of feel to Hit Girl and her personality, the way this art looks. I feel like it really accentuates her very well in a very enjoyable way. And it's kind of fun because it kind of starts... It's this duo that is temporary under, kind of conditions of Hit Girl letting this guy live as long as he helps her and goes on a couple of crazy adventures and kills a bunch of people. So, yeah, it's just a fun book that is drawn really well.
I would say, in particular, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the ultraviolence in comic books, and
sure,
we talk about this a lot, but this is Mark Miller just being like, I'm provocative, and people are shooting around corners, and I'm going to melt your flesh, and whatever, I don't care.
Right.
And that's all fine, but like you said, the art by Ricardo Lopez Ariz is great. It's actually really reminiscent. I'm completely blanking on the name of the artist who did this, but Luther Strode?
What?
Treadmore. Treadmore. Thank you. It's very pleasantly reminiscent of Treadmore's art, which is over-the-top violent, and it's a lot of fun to
it
look at.
It also feels like a little Scotty Young in there, too.
Sure. I can see that. Sure. And I think it almost makes, I mean, the violence not okay, but it definitely makes it more palatable by the fact that it is so insanely over-the-top and so cartoony.
Yeah.
But that's enjoyable. Are you at all a fan of violent comics, or are you like, no thanks?
I like the action, you know. I think drawing, doing action stuff on, like Kirby would do, you know.
Yeah.
That's my stuff.
Did Kirby ever do things where, like, people are exploding and the muscles falling out or anything like that?
No.
Not so much.
Bad.
Okay.
Nice color work on that, Kirby, by the way.
Absolutely. Let's move on with one of my picks, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, number 41 from DC Comics. What's your deal, P? What's your problem?
Great pick, Zelbs. Sweet pick. I don't know.
Could I give a rundown of the plot first before you rip me a new one? Whatever.
Yes, I would love that.
Great.
That's great.
So I really enjoy this title. This is by Robert Vendetti. It's, as the title says, it focuses on Hal Jordan, but he's not leading the Green Lantern Corps. He's just a cop as part of it. This arc is found a prisoner of Zod, who is taken over a planet. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but there's a kind of a weird, fun thing happening in the DC Universe where specifically this title, the Green Lantern title, and the Superman books are sort of trading villains sometimes without really talking about it, like doing a little bit of crossover stuff, but light crossover. So there was this arc that just finished up in, I think it was Action Comics, where Superman traveled to the future where Zod and his children had taken over this planet. We didn't know how. We find out in this arc how they did it, how they started. And the thing that's kind of neat about it, just to spoil a little bit about the book, is they actually have the Green Lantern Corps acting as a police force. So they get to the point where they're trying to take down Zod because they're like, we're superheroes, Zod, you're evil, you're bad. But then the Guardians say, they haven't done anything wrong. You just came to Zod's planet and started attacking him because he's Zod. Back off. And then they have to. And I like that. I like that dynamic. But the thing that really elevates this book is it's exactly the sort of over-the-top creative Green Lantern action that you want from a comic book, with Hal Jordan taking multiple enormous light jets and slamming them into General Zod, using his pilot skills to trick him. It's a lot of fun. Pete is nodding his head. No, no, I love this. No, no, keep going, Alex.
Yeah, so great.
No, this is great.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, if you like Green Lantern, you're going to love this. But if you don't like Green Lantern, you're going to hate this. It's just one of those things where it's like every issue I pick up, it's Green Lantern being like, I'm a pilot. Everything I can imagine is just a plane. It's like, you non-creative bastard. Anything you want out of that ring, and it's always a fucking plane with you. It drives me insane. He has so much power, and he does such little with it. It's, oh.
Can I just mention, for in this issue alone, yes, you're kind of right, except he imagines several planes.
Oh. Wow, you really shook
coming
me up
from
on that
different
one.
Directions.
Oh, yeah, the different directions move.
Pretty sweet.
Oh, yeah, my favorite is when he's like, oh, yeah, look behind you. More planes! Oh, just, oh.
Do you know what I did the other day? I watched the end of the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern movie.
Why?
No, hold on.
Why?
Bear with me. Hold on. I mean, there's problems with that movie, mind you.
Yes!
But
a lot of them!
But the end of it, Sinestro is this enormous tentacle monster that he throws into space, and he takes, mind you, two planes, but he takes two planes to hold himself back from being sucked into the sun, and then punches a giant tentacle monster in the face with an enormous fist and knocks him into the sun. What's not fun about that?
I don't know, man. But the rest of that movie is what makes that movie.
Sure, but
that one little part is awesome.
Yeah.
But the problem is it's packaged in a big pile of shit. And that's poorly edited.
Let me ask you a question. You're walking along the street. You see a big pile of shit, right? But there's like one gold nugget in there. What do you do?
I keep walking, man. It's not worth it.
That's gold. You turned out gold.
Is that chipmunk Green Lantern still around?
What?
Is the chipmunk Green Lantern still around?
Yeah, I think he's still around.
And the planet guy?
Yeah, and Mogo. Yeah, they work off of Mogo, which I always found a little weird because it's like, what if this theater was a person?
Whoa, you know? Man. You just blew my mind.
I'm very high right now.
All right. Let's move on to our last book. Big Milestone Saga number 50 yes. from Image Comics.
Yes. Do not read this in public.
Oh, my God. We, yeah. They, I don't know, we're 50 issues into this, so we should be used to the fact if you've never read Saga, it's very much not safe for work on a regular basis, both for sexual content and adult content. It's easily the most consistently good title on the sands for 50 plus months now, but they gotta put some sort of warning on the front. Like, specifically, like a hey, Pete and Alex, don't read this on the subway. What's wrong with you?
It's one of those things where I'm like, oh, it's the 50th issue. They probably will be cool because it's number 50. And I'm like standing next to these kids. And I open it up and I'm like, ah, God!
Yeah.
No!
I do that. Do you do that? Specifically, this happens to be on the subway because, yeah. like, I read a lot of comics on the subway yeah. where I do the open and flip back, where it's like, okay, go to open this and closing it up.
Yeah, and then you're like, what do? I try to skip a couple pages, which I don't want to do because right. I don't want to know what's coming, but then I'm like, oh, God. Yeah.
I do like the furtive check around to be like, who saw me? Who saw me? Yeah. Who thinks I'm a perv now? Yeah, all of yeah. you? You all think I'm a perv? Yeah. All right. This is a critically acclaimed comic
yeah,
book.
That's what's hard because you're like, oh, this is an award-winning, amazing comic. But yeah, you
this
can't read it.
This female ejaculation is caused by character. It's character based, you guys.
Yeah,
it actually is. It really is. I'm sorry, I offended yeah. all of you, but it's in the book. Have you read Saga?
I read the first few issues, and then my comic shop closed.
Oh, no.
Man, that's a horrible story.
I know. I just don't come into Manhattan enough.
Okay, well, you should check it out. It is great. And it is kind of incredible that it has gone 50 issues and still, regardless of what the content is, has the ability to shock on the first and last page mm-hmm. every single time. Yeah. Not just with shocking sexual content, but with character content and things that put all of the characters in real danger, like the last page shows us a character that we've grown to know and love and care about in an entirely new way that's heartbreaking in the yeah. last page. It's yeah. kind of incredible.
Yeah, and it's just every time you think you're like, okay, I've really got a grasp of what this comic is and where it's going, they're like, no, you yeah. are along for the ride.
Well, it's right in the title.
Yeah.
It's a saga.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to keep going for a while.
Yeah.
A lot of different directions.
Yeah. It'll
be a whole journey.
Fuck you, man.
And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for that, all you have to do is raise your hand to ask a question either for our lovely guest over here or absolutely anything for any of us, and you're going to get some free comics courtesy of Mr. Pete LePage. I saw this hand come up first. Why don't you come down here, sir? What is your name? What is your question?
Hi there, my name is EJ. This is for the group, but mostly Rand. That last year, especially, we saw a ton of Jack Kirby tributes. We mm-hmm. had the Commandy Challenge. There was the Dark Side, but just all sorts of stuff that kind of ran the gamut from good to bad. And I guess this is to all three of you, but yeah, mostly to you. What Kirby tribute, so to speak, do you think best captures who the man was and for what reason, idealized or not?
Wow, cool. Good question.
Well, I mean, when all that was going on, really, my absolute favorite tribute was the fact that so much of his work was being published again and available. I mean, that was really that was the greatest honor, you know, rather than having to dig in the back issues or look for, you know, out of print books, but actually having new editions out there. I you know, talking about Avan DuVernay's New Gods movie, it's like, yeah, but you know, the New Gods are still on the shelf, you know, and Kirby's stories are always going to be there, and it's just great that they're continuing to be there. That honestly, that's my favorite stuff. So I know that's
okay.
Cool.
I would add, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, what's nice for me, I don't know what, kind of really, encapsulates him or anything like that. But I'm happy that we're getting amazing stories still that will hopefully make people go, oh my God, this is amazing, and then do some research and go back and have their minds blown a little bit.
No, that is great.
Yeah, like Mr. Miracle is just killing it right now. In a way that I wasn't prepared for.
Well, I was specifically going to bring that up because I feel like things like the Common Day Challenge are fun, and it's always fun to watch writers and artists play in somebody else's style. Mm-hmm. But often I feel like, particularly when it comes to the New Gods thing on the DC side at least, it's a lot of spinning their wheels. You know, they're not really adding anything new. And what I think almost is the best tribute to somebody like Jack Kirby is something like Mr. Miracle that adds new information and comes at it in a different way, where it uses these creations but pushes the characters forward and plays with them. That's something that I think, as a creator in a sequential medium like comics, you want to see. You're throwing those things out there into the sandbox so people can play with them. You don't want them to be preserved in their box like action figures. You want to see people, not to continue the metaphor, but like break the toys, play with the toys, come up with their own toys and add them in together. And that's why I think something like that is so great. I don't know. There you go. Cool. I saw this hand second. You, sir, what's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin. You know, when we talk about Kirby, you know, we talk, you know, everybody knows about Commandy, well, now particularly, the Fourth World stuff, the romance comics. What are some of the things that Kirby did that you think like really should get more love that maybe aren't as well known?
Well, there was a book published by there was a whole series of books, the Simon and Kirby Library that Titan published, and the crime book that was put out was absolutely brilliant. Just one of some of the best stuff that team did, the number one team in comics, you know, did these crime stories. I can't talk enough about those, you know, as far as unheralded or you know, Kirby work that should be re-looked at.
Pete, you got an answer?
I was trying to scroll through.
You were cheating?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to see something that I was wanted to talk about that would someone mentioned on Twitter, but I can't find it, so I got nothing.
All right, fair enough. I always liked the fact that he was able to eat things and gain their abilities. I thought that was really cool. Oh, sorry, wrong Kirby. Okay. Cool. You, sir, right up there, come on down. What is your name, and what is your question?
Well, you know my name by now, but
it's for the people listening at home.
Yes,
Pablo.
Yes. I was about to say that. Pablo. Hello, Rand.
Hey.
This is for you, and anyone can answer this as well. What is the most interesting panel in a Kirby book? And you say to yourself, man, this is why I like this guy.
I think right now, you know, you'd ask me tomorrow and I'll have a different answer. But what comes to mind for me right now was I was talking to somebody recently about Kirby and my personal experience with Kirby. And I talked about the summer camp. But then there was this, I did get hit by a second lightning bolt with Kirby. It was after college. It must have been 1982. And I pulled out Black Panther number one. And the you know, he used to do these great spreads, you know, in the page 2 and 3. And that at that time, in like 1982 or whenever I read it, that just blew my mind, you know. And I could conceivably look at any of those spreads that he did when he was given he started them. He did things in the 40s and 50s, but, you know, my experience was any time there was like a, you know, a Kirby initial splash, and then you turn it, and you get a Kirby spread. You know, it's a winner. You know, that's the kind of stuff that I just love.
Cool, great question. I think we can take one more. Do we have a Twitter question, Pete?
We do have, unless we have a...
Well, let's take that, and then we'll take one last question from the audience.
Yeah, so someone reached out to us on Twitter, was asking about
Do you have it open? We can read it.
Yeah, well, I don't have it open right now. I was trying to find it feverishly. You know how it is sometimes when you're looking for something, you know exactly where it is in your head, and then you go there and it's not there.
Yeah, it's in the Comic Book Live account in our DMs.
Yeah, go ahead, Dick. But anyways, they were asking about, you know, they like to go back, and specifically, they've been reading a lot of 80s comics.
This is just your personal account.
I know.
You don't have... Okay, never mind. Go ahead.
Because it's my personal phone, and then there's me personally. They were just asking about, like, you know, sometimes when you go back and read older comics, you know, it's written in a certain way. Specifically in the 80s, they were trying to get over... You know, there's amazing writers and amazing arcs, but a lot of the times they're recapping things that already happened, you know, when characters are talking, and they're wondering how we deal with stuff like that when we're going back and reading stuff.
Yeah, sure. I'll just mention that I responded to that. Thanks, Matt. This is great. I'll send it to Pete. He's great at remembering our questions. So.
Right. Which I recapped, but you wanted it to be...
I just wanted to read the name. It was from Matt Fennell on Twitter.
Great.
So talk about it, Pete. What's your answer?
Well, I feel like it's one of those things where, yeah, it can really hold you up. You know, it can make it hard to get into a story or enjoy something when the dialogue is, you know, a little bit older or just time-stamped in a certain way or with a certain genre. But unfortunately, that's kind of how it is. So you can either... lean into it and enjoy it, or it can keep pulling you out of it and kind of dragging you down. I just kind of say, oh, this was the way things were at that time, and I kind of lean into it. But, yeah, I can understand why people are like, oh, this is driving me crazy. I want to enjoy all this great stuff, but the way it was written is kind of keeping me at a distance from it.
I don't know. I kind of enjoy it, personally. I mean, it depends on the style, because there are so many different styles, but, like, I have this book of the first Batman stories at home, and they're obviously completely different than now, written in a completely different style, but it's fun to read just because it does feel like this time capsule and gives you a little bit of an idea of what people like to read, how they like to think, how they like to talk. In terms of the exposition, which Matt was specifically asking about, I actually think that's a good thing that we miss a little bit right now. Just the very idea of every issue characters saying their names to each other. Too often, I feel like I regularly read these comic books, but I read so many of them that I'm jumping into a book, and first page, I have to rack my brain to remember what's happening, particularly with the DC stuff that forgoes a recap page versus Marvel, which at least, if I don't understand what's going on, I can go back and be like, what now? What's happening? And do a quick scan of the recap. I think that's helpful. An author who I know tries to combine this as much as possible is Dan Slott. Like, he writes in a very modern style, but at the same time, he makes sure to weave into the dialogue people, characters mentioning each other's names, but also setting up the plot and reminding us of what happened in the book itself, regardless of the recap. And again, I think that's sort of a helpful thing. I'm curious to get your take on it, Rand, if you have one.
Don't really have much to say about it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Yeah.
There we go. I think we take one more question from the crowd. You, sir, I saw your hand go up. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Paul. Okay, so Kirby was from the Lower East Side.
Yep.
Comic book Steve Rogers was from the Lower East Side. Do you guys have any feelings either way about MCU Cap being from Brooklyn?
Good question. What do you guys think about that? Should MCU Cap be from the Lower East Side? Is that basically what you're saying? What do you think?
I mean, I was upset about it for a little while, but that scene in Civil War where he sees Spidey, he's like, where are you from? And he's like, Queens. And he's like, Brooklyn. I was like, that is so badass. And I live in Brooklyn right now, and I was so proud of that moment. So it was hard to be mad at the fact that they adjusted it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can understand why people would be pissed, but it didn't bother me just because I was like, oh, they're making different choices with the movie, you know? And they're good choices.
I mean, I think over time, these areas have changed so much that you kind of change with the times. And I think, yeah, I guess it's still the 40s. That's fair. Never mind. My point's dumb. What do you think, Rad?
I was a little disappointed in it, but yeah. I, it, it, it,
It's just, oh, there go those movies again, you know.
Those darn movies with their changing of things.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I think he could have been from Brooklyn, right? Yeah. Maybe. No, everybody's very mad at me now. Cool, thanks, guys. I thought we were friends, but all right, whatever. Cool, great questions, guys. That's it for your audience questions. Yeah. We are going to move to our next section, which is trivia.
All right.
For that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. Guys, this is where a part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Because if you had $25, you would go to a comic book shop. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in a game of trivia. Who would like $25 free? Yes,
$3.
You in the back. Come on down.
All right.
Sir, you have won before. That's why I went with, new hand instead of first hand up person.
Come on down, new hand. Here we go.
All right.
Here's your microphone.
What is your name, sir?
Fred.
Fred, audience. Audience, Fred.
Hey, Fred.
Audience, you're going to be rooting for Fred. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers. You get all three questions right, $25 yours. So Rand works at the Jack Kirby Museum and Research Center, as well as which other place? Is it A, Hoboken Historical Museum? Is it B, the Brooklyn Hipster Museum? Or is it C, the Miami Sound Machine? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick B or C and go home empty-handed.
I believe it's A.
It is correct.
Incredible.
Yes. Rand, who wrote Jack Kirby, A Life in Comics, which is on the museum's website and is really awesome. I recommend checking it out. States, Kirby created and co-created which villain? Is it A, Dr. Doom? B, Darkseid, or is it C, Gloria Stefan? So it's either A or it's B, Darkseid, which we mentioned earlier in the show, if you were paying attention.
I'll go with B.
B is correct.
Incredible.
The man is on fire, 2 for 2. Here we go, last one. It's a fun fact. Fun fact, young Kirby was in a gang and loved to blank. Is it A, fight? B, dance.
What was the question again?
Young Kirby.
Young Kirby, yes.
Yeah. So instead of busting my balls, maybe pay attention a little bit. Was in a gang and he loved to blank. Is it A, fight, B, dance, or C, running away from the rhythm because it's going to get you?
I believe it's A, fight.
A, fight. That's right. He loved to fight. Here you go, sir. $25 free.
Amazing. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'd love to see Jack Kirby in a dance battle. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
Oh, man. That made me super happy when I found that out.
Yeah, I got to be honest. With the Tatum doing breakup, I think we need Kirby to step up.
Dude, I can't believe you just brought that up.
I'm really sorry.
You know how upset I am about this. This is so fucked up. You fucking asshole.
One of the most surprising things about Pete is he loves hyper-violent comic books and also the Step Up movies. And last night when Channing Tatum and Jenna Dewan Tatum announced their separation, I tweeted out... just audibly said no to like literally no one in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And Pete immediately he never tweets at me anything, never engages with me online in
any way. I don't like engaging you in Twitter.
Immediately, like in seconds, was like, please God, tell me this is not real.
Yep.
It was kind of amazing.
Yeah.
There we go. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We reckon you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, a lot of great stuff coming out.
Sure,
I would
mention one thing and then talk about what you like about it.
I'm going to say All New Wolverine number 33, because if you would have told me, hey, Pete, your favorite character, we're going to get rid of him and this other person's going to take the place, I'd be like, no, that's awful. It's an amazing book. I love what they're doing with X-23, and I think she is an amazing character, and I'm very happy with the way they're writing.
Oh, all new Wolverine, not old man Wolverine.
No, all new.
Oh, I was going to say, no spoilers, but you're also going to be replaced by an old man eventually.
That's true. Yeah, that's true, I am.
I'm looking forward to Isola, number one from Image Comics. We have a podcast we put up on Wednesday mornings called The Stack, in the same feed as the Comic Book Club podcast. So we are going to be reviewing that. But I want to make sure that as many people as possible pick up this book because it is stunningly gorgeous.
Really
it's basically about a girl and her tiger on a journey to far-off lands. But it looks like if you're a fan of Avatar or Korra or any of that stuff, the art style is very favorably reminiscent of that. And it's really cool. I'm very excited about that book and excited to see where it goes. Rand, you were going to plug something that people should check out that you're excited about.
I'm looking forward to the Treasury-sized X-Men Grand Design by Ed Piskor.
Nice.
That's I haven't been picking up the individuals, so he recolored the original Kirby Paul Reinemann first issue. So it just looks like it's going to be great.
Yeah, they've released the first two issues so far, and it's so good. It's definitely worth picking up. Plug your stuff again. What should people check out?
Definitely go to KirbyMuseum.org and come to our pop-up in the first weekend of May during Free Comic Book Day. Come down to Tribeca.
Yeah.
Pick up your free comic books, go down to the Kirby Museum, grand old time.
Sounds like a great day.
Couple of things before we go. Next week on the show, one of our favorite guests to have here, Charles Soule, is going to be back on the show talking about his debut novel, The Oracle Year, which just hit stores. So pick that up, read it, and we'll have a legit book club next week.
What?
I know. It's pretty crazy.
Do we have to wear ties for that?
My eyes.
Yeah. We got to really dress up. Sorry, monocles Clip and stuff on, and whatever. Also, a couple of other things to plug. We have a few other podcasts that we do. We do a Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark, a Legion podcast called Inside Legion, a Krypton podcast called After Krypton, all in their own separate feeds. Check all of those
that
out.
That guy was just reacting to how crappy the show Krypton is. That's all.
No. I think he was like, oh, yeah. It was that he was doing?
He was going, oh.
It was not safe for the subway. That's all I know. Whatever was happening.
Yeah, whatever was happening.
Whatever is going on. Also, this show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. So if you want to toss some bucks in the hat over there, that would be much appreciated. Or if you're listening online, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our show.
Check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live or the website Comic Book Club Live for the podcasts and more. Couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tom Bajar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, and Riley Trahan. We want to thank Rad for being on the show.
Yes.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Go pick up your tickets to Infinity War, Pete.
Yeah,
good night.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening. Really appreciate it.